Hey guys, just kind of like a massive major workout. My thighs are pumped, everything's pumped up so big. I can't even, like, I pass a mirror and I'm like, wait a minute, where did Sean go? And he's right here. But who am I kidding?
I didn't work out. I never work out. Welcome to Smartless.
Smart.
I woke up this morning about the NASA thing. Did you see this? Read this thing
no.
today?
What happened?
That the Voyager, you know, it's like 15 billion miles away.
Yeah.
And they don't quite know what's, there's something going on with it where they're not receiving correct information, but they're still receiving information. And I'm interested in that shit. Did I just lose everybody?
No.
Yeah, you want to try to stay away from just half stories.
Okay.
When
that's what
folks.
I was going to say. I was going to say, like, I'd be interested if you gave me actually anything interesting to think about.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can tell you what happened with I got my MRI back from my neck.
This I want to know about.
Okay.
Okay.
And what'd they say? It's
no, I got a better story.
It's a pain in the...
Ah, bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum- As you can notice, I got my haircut yesterday, right? It's really, really short. Mm. And I got a little color in there, too. So, Skevo, blah, 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 joke, 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 Skevo, Greek, fantastic.
Oh,
so
hang Chris- on. Is that what we do now to fucking... What the fuck is going on? What are we, at a kid's birthday party?
So I'm sitting there.
Wait, you just glossed over the rinse. You put a rinse in there, huh? What was the, what's the name of the color on that rinse? It's usually something like Chestnut Forever or something like that.
No. That's my handle on my profile and my...
On your, wait, is, no, it's...
It's two words, chestnuts.
Nut, no, it's nut on chest, right? Please, nut on chest.
.com. We really got to get a snare drum in here.
Oh, I got that whistle.
Oh boy, here it comes. Here comes Shecky. Go, Shaq. There it is. So,
So I'm sitting there, and you know Chris McMillan, who does your hair, Jason.
Sure.
So he's sitting on the other side in his station across, and I go, Chris, get me something like a piece of candy or something. I wanted some sugar or something sweet. And he goes back in the bag. He's like, I don't have anything. You want me to make your peanut butter sandwich? I was like, no, I don't want that. So I'm sitting there, and Skevo's cut my hair, and like 10 minutes later, he hands me a bag of chocolates. He sent somebody out to get me chocolate.
It's full service over there.
Isn't that the nicest thing in the world?
Chris did or Skevo did?
Chris did.
That's pretty nice.
The guy who owns the salon.
That's pretty nice.
I know Chris.
I know for Tracy.
I can't believe you're asking them for snacks in there. Why don't you just go in there and behave
yourself? Also, there wasn't a please in there. You were like, hey, Skevo, give me some candy. You said, hey, Chris, give me some candy.
I know.
What is going on? You're a tyrant.
He's so sweet. I can't believe that he actually sent somebody out to get me chocolates.
Also, who eats peanut butter in a hair salon? The hair's going to get stuck in it? Gross. Yeah. That sounds disgusting to me.
Well, anyway. Listen, I don't want to keep our guest waiting.
I do.
Okay, listen.
Yeah, with all this momentum, this hilarious momentum, let's go ahead and intro the guest.
I am super excited about our... Don't make me do it again. Okay, I'm super excited about it.
It's just at arm's length is what's so weird.
It's
that
so
little
creepy.
Slide was
so
like,
close to
I'd have
him.
To drive 10 miles to buy one of those, and yours is just arm's length.
That's right. I don't even know what the search terms are for it. All right,
I'm super excited about our sweet, kind, funny, cutest pie guest today. I had the pleasure of standing next to her as we both voiced characters in that animated show I did last year, Q-Force, and she made me laugh really hard. She's the epitome of a workaholic. She doesn't stop working. And I'm not sure why she's on SmartList, because she graduated valedictorian of her class from Milton Academy before attending Columbia as a lit major. She starred in films like Obvious Child and Gifted. She's guest starred on Parks and Recs and Girls and Everything Funny You Can Think Of. Earlier this year, she starred with our friend Charlie Day in the Amazon original rom-com, I Want You Back. And she is, of course, the star of my favorite animated character of all time, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. It's the wonderfully talented hysterical
and
Jenny Slate.
Jenny Slate.
Who's really great.
Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Thanks for being here. This is so cool.
Oh, my gosh. It's so... I don't know if your guests say this a lot, but, like, the energy mounting, waiting to be revealed. And then all, like, it depends on what your personality is. But if you're like, oh my gosh, what if I'm like a bad surprise and no one cares? Or, and then you guys are so funny and I was laughing and I didn't trust the mute. No, I was maybe I'll laugh so hard I'll bust through the mute.
As the youngest of five children, I'm a bad surprise. So,
you know what, Jenny? I'm so sorry. First of all, hi. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
You've never met. You get to do the Lego Batman movie together.
Oh, wait. We
didn't record. I think we briefly in passing, but this is our first conversation.
We've never had an actual dialogue. So,
Oh, well. Double snub before.
What about no chatting at the craft service table? Did you guys not?
They didn't have one. Sean, tell Tracy what a craft service table is.
Craft service is where they feed the cast off the side, like with a line of just food on tables.
In crew.
It's a snack table.
It's a snack table for everybody.
More easily said.
Yeah.
Wait, I read somewhere, Jenny, that you are like, because I'm looking at where you are right now, that
it's
you're
the
like.
I'm not in my home.
That's what I was going to say.
Listeners, it looks like she's in a supply closet.
Do you run a travel agency?
I have.
What's going on? Yeah?
I'm in a supply closet. Okay, look, I'm in a supply closet that.
Last night's dress hanging on a hook behind you, too. Mm-hmm.
There's a toilet underneath me. There's a toilet. So
I hope that's where you want it to be.
Are you on a boat? Are you in the head on
a
boat?
Yeah.
Are you just suffering from colitis right now and you just want to stay ready?
You know, I don't feel safe. I don't feel like myself unless there's a toilet truly screwed in with full-on plumbing into just whatever space I'm in, and I need that, even for podcasts.
Directly under you.
Yeah, so I live for most of the year in a small town in Massachusetts by the ocean, and I live on a little peninsula, and we have Wi-Fi that is like internet that my mother-in-law put in there in like, you know, the late 90s, I want to say, and no one has ever decided to improve upon it. And so when it's raining, literally it's like raining today, there's not even really a breath of wind, but the internet becomes very bad. And so my husband owns the general store. So I came up here with my computer and my like power cord trailing like a little tail and was
so
like, can I use the office?
Jenny, this is crazy. I know there's not a breath of wind. What's the 5-day outlook?
I'm going to tell you what, Will, we're going to get into the high 70s is what I heard. Oh,
okay. Now, Jenny, this sounds like an ideal life you live. Tell us slow about this peninsula and what did you say most of the year?
And the general store. Owns.
Does he wear an apron?
Here's the thing. In ideal life, still have the same personality that I had in L.A. So I'm waiting for the adjustment to kick in, for that chillness.
Maybe you need to move to Chillmark.
Come on.
Hang on a second. Sean?
Whereabouts, keeping your safety in mind, so you don't need to get too specific, whereabouts are you in Massachusetts?
Sure. I can see Martha's Vineyard from where I live. Wow.
Are you in Woods Hole?
I'm not in Woods Hole. I'm in what they call South Coast, Massachusetts. And I'm from Massachusetts, and I did not know that this area existed. And my husband and
Where are you from? Where are you from, Jenny?
I'm from Milton, Mass.
Matter of fact, I used to know a kid. He's from Billerica, but I knew I knew this other kid from Milton. Fucking good kid. You should see this dude.
What's his name?
His name's Sully, obviously.
Everyone is. Yeah.
But he lives. He's from Billerica, but he lives in Milton and he works in Peabody.
That's where my cousins live. They live.
Are you
in Peabody.
Shitting me in fucking Peabody?
I'm not kidding.
Do they work for the Edison?
What's that? Like the Edison? Con
Edison?
Yeah, the
power company. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, you know.
Like Con Edison.
Power company.
Jenny Slate, how did you? So, did you just stumble into this general store one day and you say, "Hey, handsome fella in an apron"?
No, I don't ding, see ding, a ding, and I don't, the bells yeah. went when ding. She opened the door.
I don't see a ring on that finger. What about we get a malt?
Yeah,
is that how it all went?
Listen, it's not how it went. I wish that would be really nice. That's so romantic. But in fact, I met my husband in
online.
Well, in the Arctic.
In the Arctic.
Oh, really?
In the Arctic.
What
I met
do you
him
mean?
in Arctic Norway.
It's coming.
What?
I know. It's like it all just sounds like, you know, those
people who try to have stuff
to make them more interesting, but they're actually like basic, so they say stuff like this. But
This is a great pitch. This is a great pitch. Keep going. So you guys meet in the Arctic.
So she's in the Arctic. She's an artist. She's in the Arctic. She's there for art, but what she does find is love.
Right.
By the end, you realize that love is art and art is love. And she's standing on the end of a peninsula with a toilet underneath her. Yeah.
Can I just say that we love this?
We'd like to take this off the table.
Kind of thing we're looking.
We'd like to take this off the table now.
Yeah.
Truly, first time I've ever sold anything in the room.
How did you meet in the Arctic? What were you doing in Arctic Norway?
I was making a movie there. And my friend wrote the movie, and her now husband is best friends with my now husband. And so they, and I was there, and they invited him to come there and like hang out
to
with
Norway.
Us.
Was it a setup or just a visit?
Well, it was just a visit. I guess there wasn't a lot of pressure put on it.
So you didn't know it was a possible setup. Did he know it was a possible setup? He must have to, like, pack your bags and fly all the way. For what? There's this great girl here. He must have had some sort of carrot there, right? Did he know?
Well, he lived in Amsterdam, so we didn't go that far. You know, it's not like he came from Massachusetts. That would be, like, totally.
Is he from Amsterdam?
No, he's from Massachusetts, but he was living in Amsterdam.
No, he's originally from Mass, too. What town is he from, too?
Oh, let's revisit this joke.
We live in his childhood home. Oh, right. Sorry, I forgot. This was
it's Will's fault. It's Will's fault.
No, I should
do
let
the
it
funny voice
run
again,
its
Will.
Course. Yeah.
No. Fuck. You know what?
Bateman, fuck you.
Shut the fuck up, Bateman.
Oh, my God.
Jenny, the reason why I asked about where you're sitting right now, because it does look like a utility closet.
I'm in the closet. Yeah.
Okay. Pause.
Anybody?
Yeah,
anybody? Nope. Hang on. Let me just do it in advance.
Does anyone ground ball?
Ba-da-da-da-da-da, just to bank it.
I came out of there years ago. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
So,
have you ever seen vaudeville? Because Sean would love to walk you through some of the. Every time on the set of Will and Grace, they all did that to each other.
I read somewhere once that you were like a massive OCD clean freak, because I am a little bit of that too.
I am.
Yeah.
I've got a problem.
Yeah.
I'm not.
You do? What's it like for, what's happening for you?
Like, did you have a messy childhood, Jenny, or something? Sorry, Jay.
Yeah, I did. I did have a messy childhood.
Wait, Jenny, don't drop your voice and get real with us, okay?
I did.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I did
have a messy childhood. I think that was more
right,
like me
adjusting
in my genes. I did have a messy childhood. Guys, I did. I had a messy childhood but very clean grandmothers, like tidy houses. And there was just like a big obvious like, oh, I'm way less stressed out at both of my Nana's houses than in our house where it's like crazy. It's like crazy.
I'm the same way. Yeah. I grew up like in a mess.
So then your OCD comes from trying to create order and cleanliness as opposed to trying to avoid germs.
Yeah, I don't think I have. I mean, obviously, I'm kind of like at the COVID level of afraid of germs that maybe most people are. But for me, a tidiness means like untidiness means like an unsettled mind.
Yeah.
And it like makes me feel crazy. And there are like little things that like I don't understand why you would ever leave anything open. Like why you would leave a cabinet open,
a
dishwasher, a jar. Yeah. That's crazy to me.
What about a toothpaste tube?
Toothpaste, wrong with people? That's not, for me, it's not, it's more, I'm with you on the people who can leave a cupboard that much open. I'm like,
it's crazy.
Just close it. I was just, my friend Eli.
What else are you leaving open, right?
Huh? What?
Because if you leave those things open, what else are you leaving open?
Holy
right?
shit. Holy right. shit. Shit just got
right,
really,
right.
you guys. Hey, wait,
right.
Sean, you're not first of all, Jason, the term OCD is way overused. It's not
OCD.
I
don't have OCD.
Right.
Just to be clear, it's not OCD. So
right.
Nice try. It's the same way that everybody says that, I don't know. We just use a lot of these terms that are just, you know,
yeah,
a little
sorry, man.
Overhead.
I'll work on it.
Okay. Thanks. Let's be, I'm a little intense today, Jenny, because my
We interrupted him right in the middle of it. What were you blasting buys and
no,
what was
just
today?
Just doing a little boxing, bro. Just doing boxing.
All right. Right on. Right on. Yeah, were you winning or?
I hope so, because I was up against a bag.
All right, so Eli.
But Eli would, he would go, when we were in Atlanta, and I'd come to the kitchen in the morning, and there'd be four glasses, some cups and whatever stacked next to the sink. And there were, and I'd go, and stuff open, I'd go, can you at least forget, I get you're not going to put it in the dishwasher. Can you not put it at least in the sink? It is how much, it's easier. Gravity right. would take your hand down even right. further into the sink.
And run some water in it.
And run some water in it. And yeah. just leave it. And he literally at one point just kind of looks at me and goes, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. You got a deal on this roommate, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah Scotty can't handle when there's actual like pieces of food in the sink too. Like if I just put a plate down,
he has to rinse it out.
Yeah, I always clean the food, make sure there's no food in the sink, but I don't really put the dishes in the dishwasher. He likes to do that.
He likes to do that.
Oh, that's nice.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream, My Mochi Ice Cream, and I was going to say I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi Ice Cream is? Picture this. It's a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi Ice Cream is sweet. It's chewy. It's cool. It's creamy all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh, I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it. First of all, an absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to mymochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today. Thank you to Organic Valleys for supporting the show. I'm just finishing up a little cottage cheese here. See, the thing is, I'm always on the hunt to find the best dairy products. But so many options out there. Which one do you choose? With Organic Valley, you can feel good choosing their dairy products. Their products are ethically sourced from small family farms where cows spend lots of time grazing outside on organic pasture. Organic Valley Dairy doesn't come from those big factory farms. Their farmer families are real people who care about people, animals, and nature. They just taste better. You can taste the organic. For me, look, I'm a coffee guy, okay? Guilty as charged. Every morning, I do the same thing, which is I come downstairs, I make my coffee, and the thing that this so important ingredient is my half and half. And I just happen to choose Organic Valley half and half, even before they started supporting the show. I mean, talk about a match made in dairy heaven. And I also happen to enjoy their eggs and their butter and their other products too. So I was going to say, so sue me, but so don't sue me. When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you enjoy a great tasting organic dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals they call it home. But do not ask me to convert that to hectares. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop.
Get to the chopper. I'll be back. Listen, I gotta tell ya, of all guests we've had on SmartList, I don't know if we've had a bigger icon on our podcast than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what a treat it was talking to that guy. Arnold is an inspiration, from having reached the heights of bodybuilding to then conquer Hollywood and become a global movie star. Oh, and for his third act, he oversaw the world's fifth largest economy as governor of California. The man has truly done it all. In our interview, he shares the secret of how he's able to accomplish what he puts his mind to, what motivates him to keep working out all these years, and the extreme generosity that he received after arriving in America. You gotta listen to this episode to hear what it's like to be Chris Pratt's father-in-law and how Arnold's first comedy, Twins, has made him more money than any other film he's done. Hint, he's also a great businessman. Give it a listen if you haven't. Bye, Seps.
And now back to the show.
Jenny, I don't know if you're like this. I like things to be orderly and stuff. And at the same time, I'm not a germaphobe. But I just like things as certain to be kind of clean and, yeah. And yeah. sorted.
Yeah, I like that too. I like to like display my kitchenware like it is sort of a useful art installation. Sure. When people like move the bowls around, I'm like, okay. But like, I know it's not okay to be unchill about that. But then when sort of the people are gone, I'll put it back.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, yeah, I like to, I think it's about respect. I really do. And I like how it feels
with you
to
on that.
Like close the circle. Like when I make dinner every night and like while the thing is, I was just saying this to a friend. Like,
clean
I guess
station.
This is a big thing. I love a clean station.
Sure.
And when whatever's on the stove, getting, you know, having its final, you know, moment on the stove, I do all the dishes I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
it.
It feels so good to me.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to share with you guys a story that I haven't really told you before.
Tuck in, guys.
Wow.
Which was, I think I was kind of messy when I was younger.
I went to
all boys boarding school.
Okay.
And when I was there, I was in seventh grade. I was 12. And hang on. It gets mildly interesting.
At 12?
Okay. And the guy who ran the house kept telling me, you got to clean your room, Finally, one day I came back and my shit was everywhere. And I came back and all my shit was gone from my room. And I go, where's my stuff? And he goes, come with me.
Uh-oh.
And he'd taken all my stuff and put it in garbage bags and put it in the back of his car. And he drove me 6 miles away.
What?
And I had 4 garbage bags full of stuff, and I was a little 12. I hadn't, you know, and these big bags of stuff. And he was like, put them down, and he said, Dad, hopefully now you'll learn to clean your room. And he drove away. And so I had these 4 huge bags and 6 miles, and I thought, how am I going to do it? So I started doing like 2 bags, 50 yards, go back, get the other 2 bags, so they were too big.
Are you
and I was
kidding
like,
me?
No, I swear to God. And at a certain point, I thought, like, I'm going to fucking break. Like, what's going to happen here? And I was like, you know what I got to do? And I just opened and I started putting everything on and jackets and whatever. And I managed to get most stuff on and then just had a small bag left of stuff.
Oh, my God.
And I walked like
true.
A Michelin. Swear, true story. And
are
I walked back.
Kidding?
And I came. I remember crossing the first soccer field towards my house and him seeing me way sooner than he thought he was going to see me. And I was carrying the shit, but I was wearing everything. And I felt like a fucking king. And I was like,
whoa.
Fuck you. I figured it out, you dummy.
And then did you just throw it all over your room
but
again?
But you know what? Last lap on me. From then on, I was much better. I was much better about cleaning my stuff.
This was a boarding school?
Yeah. This is 1982.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember when my dad got blasted drunk one night, which was very, very often. He came home. And,
what?
And the dishes weren't done, so he's really furious about
that.
Did
he take an Uber, do you think?
He took all the dirty dishes, and we had linoleum tile on the floor, on the kitchen floor, and he put a dirty dish on every single tile, so you couldn't walk on the kitchen floor.
Oh, so he was a psycho, too.
He was a little bit of a psycho, yeah.
God darn it. We've really got to find him for a very special Christmas episode of Smartless. He's going to be my mystery guest.
This is a recurring theme, Jenny, just so you know.
By the way, and also, sorry, Jenny, we'll get back to you in just 2 seconds.
Jenny, can you bring the fucking bounty up to the front? We need more fucking bounty.
Get the phone, Jenny. God damn it.
Jenny,
answer it?
Where the fucking trash bags?
Answer it.
Yeah,
let's see what it is.
Answer,
if it's
answer,
an
answer.
Order for some milk or something.
Somebody answered it.
The machine got
somebody
it.
Somebody answered it. I guess
what if you answered the phone and the person said, you get off this fucking podcast right now. You shut your goddamn computer and you get off the fucking podcast with your Hollywood friends.
So wait, Jenny, I want to ask you, you've done a million voiceovers, like, and you're a regular on Big Mouth and Bob's Burgers, right?
Yeah, and The Great North, it's on Fox.
And The Great North on Fox. I mean, it's so, why voices? Like, when did you learn, like, you could do all of these different things with your voice?
I honestly feel like I didn't know that, I didn't know this could be, like, an actual job that you can do a lot. And I don't know if you guys feel this way, but, like, I think it is the most fun. It's so, it's, like, it's challenging creatively, but it's really also really easy. Not that I'm showing up in my PJs, but, like, Do you hear these ladies behind the door?
It's good. It's good
atmo. No, it's all good. We haven't asked. Are you in the supply room of the general store?
I'm between the groceries and the books.
No, are you really in the supply?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And right now, it's 1:31 there, so you've got the lunch rush. So is Ben slapping together a bunch of pastrami sandwiches and, who's number 35?
Yeah.
So he owns the store, but he doesn't, like, work here every day. He just, he and his brother, so his, like, great-grandmother used to come to this store. His family has lived in this town for a really long time. And during the pandemic, he and his brother bought the store. And, like, did a little work on it, and they put a bar in here and a bookstore. And so he's kind of like, he's like the store owner. And then he comes here every day to do, like, little things for the store. But there's a lovely woman named Marianne who is the manager. And she is letting me be in her office.
Can you still do all your voiceover work given the Wi-Fi limitations out there?
I can, but sometimes it's really bad. Like, I do it in the linen closet between my bedroom and my daughter's bedroom. I have a little baby. Yeah, she's 17 months old.
Oh, congrats.
And,
I thought of it.
That's so amazing. First of all, I thought of the name for your autobiography if you ever want one.
Here we go. Here we go.
Sure, let's go.
Closets. Because you have a lot of closets in your life.
You got to get the slide flute out,
or
Sean.
Just my life in closets, you know?
It's really clever.
Yeah, thank you.
So who was the tougher transition from you? From living single and having all your stuff in an orderly way, was it harder for you to get used to living with Ben or the 17-month-old?
Mm-hmm.
What's been the bigger transition?
Great question.
Thanks,
That's
man.
A really good question.
Take your time.
It does come down to the neat freak thing. I think it was harder with the baby because also, like, Ben, you know, understands what I say. And so when I'm like, I don't like when that's like that,
he
doesn't just like be like, you know, like
he can understand a threat when he hears one.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Whereas the baby just doesn't understand my threats yet.
Isn't that amazing how you cannot negotiate with something that doesn't speak your language? Like, that was a big, big lesson for me. Like, I can't just say, well, you're not having, you know, dessert tonight or whatever. Like, they don't care. You got for the first couple of years, you got to just deal with it.
Yeah.
So, Jason, what was the age that your kids finally were able to understand, I'm going golfing today? Like, what was the, because for a while they just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was, they were 12.
But wait, so Jenny, so you have a 17-month-old daughter.
Yeah.
And you guys, and now you're firmly living back in Massachusetts, and Ben and his brother have opened the general store, and you're there, and you've kind of, are you done with the West Coast? Are you done with LA? Are you done with New York? Are you just like, this is where, for now, in your mind, are you like, this is my life now living here?
I like it here more, but we still have my house in LA.
On the east side. Is that what you said?
Here's the thing. On the east side in Silver Lake.
By the way, that's a Massachusetts thing to say, by the way, which is like, oh, must be nice.
You know? must be nice.
Oh, yeah, must be nice. Got a house.
What does Ben think about, what does Ben think about Los Angeles?
He likes it a lot. We had 2 years there before the baby was born, and he was like, whoa, I can't believe you just pick an orange off the tree and you go for hikes, and it's like very chill. I mean, we don't have like a, I don't know, like a super flashy lifestyle. So I think he was like, this is vacation-y. Like, this is pretty vacation-y, which it is. And my best friends live all around us and everything. But I will say about our house in LA, like, it's a beautiful, small, old house. I bought it when I was single. And I was like a heavy stoner, and like the refrigerator is not even in the kitchen. It's in like a tiny room off the kitchen. And at the time I was like, I was single and I was like, it's like under the Tuscan sun. Like, I'm just going to buy an old house and just live in here and have all my shirts. And like, this will be very romantic for me. Oh, and then he came. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, just like, oh, my blouses. Like, it's just me and my blouses. And I just don't give a hoot anymore about anything. I'm just living in my old home. And then Ben came to live with me. And I was like, oh, my God, it's so messy in here. All like with yeah. two people, even. It's crazy.
And Ben's like, where are all these shirts from? He's
like, what? You never told me that you had so many blouses.
We need to open a general store. Yeah.
Right. Totally. Just drove him to that. So anyway, so I was like, oh, I love this house. Then he came and I was like, ooh, there's kind of a lot of stuff in here now with two people. But I felt like it was fine. And then now with the baby, and also we got a dog during the pandemic, like yeah. a beautiful large border collie mix. That house is like, it's just really hard. It's right. way too small, and the stairs are really loud. And
you okay, Will?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You take a minute, man.
Sorry,
yeah, you know? Throw open your mouth. Sorry,
clean the microphone a little bit, I guess.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
That's like my favorite. Julie will never have a better joke than burping.
I mean, sorry about so that. Funny. Sorry about that, you guys.
Welcome to no, Barstool Sports. So, But you guys have decided we're going to what is your child's name?
Her name is Ida, I-D-A.
So you guys said we're going to raise Ida in Massachusetts, not out here in L.A. Good choice.
So.
Tell me what's happened.
They were like, where do you want to live? And she said, I don't know.
Or Idaho.
Oh, you got it.
Thanks.
What happened to your weed addiction? What did you crack that while you were pregnant?
Addiction.
You got rid of all that, or are no. we back into?
No. She doubled down when she was pregnant. What yeah. the fuck do you think?
Yeah, I went straight to meth.
Yeah, I'd like to go wide with that. I'd like to go wide with that on a podcast about how I doubled down. You fucking
9 months till the baby's here. I gotta just do all the drugs.
Yeah.
Is it legal in Massachusetts like it is out here in California?
I think it is now. I think it is. I had like a bad moment of like, I don't know if it's possible, but I kind of think I overdosed myself on weed.
I've done that.
It was not with a joint or anything. Like I used to smoke a lot of weed and I could smoke as much as possible, I guess it seemed like. But I took a CBD gummy.
Yeah.
That my friend was like, oh, you need to activate it with a THC dropper. And she was like, but you, and it was like, because I had like a back issue. I don't think CBD is really real, but that might be controversial. Either way, she was like, if you want it to work, you have to use the,
kick it in.
Yeah, the THC dropper. And she was like, but you smoke so much weed that, you know, it says between 1 and 3 droppers, you should probably take 3 droppers. So I was like, cool, I'll take 3 droppers. And then
you had to call your mom.
I took the 3 droppers and I think it was like the worst experience of my life, during which I tried to watch the movie Amelie and couldn't figure out what language it was in and was just like, what is this?
That movie's so good.
Oh man. Yeah. I'm trying to work it into stand up now, but it's still like a little scary that this happened. You know, it's like, it's not exactly funny yet, cause I actually think I did almost die. And I threw up like outside of my bathroom cause I like couldn't figure out how to get over the threshold. Like just crazy shit. Went to bed with all my clothes on, my boots, like some like little zipper up booties, like got in the bed that way. I was like, I need to call for help. And then was like, it's too late, Jenny. It's too late. And then I looked, it was 6:45 p.m. And I was like, oh, it was so bad. And it was truly like, oh my God, I really was like watching Amelie being like, when did this movie get so fucking scary? And what language is this? What is this? Like, I don't know. I used to love this. And her hairstyle was so great and everything just looked crazy. But anyway, so then the next day, my friend, you know, it was Jane Levy. Do you know her?
Yes,
you must
course.
Know. Yeah. So she gave me this the THC thing. Anyway, so she called me and she was like, I got all your texts about the patriarchy.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, oh. And she was like, Jenny, I'm so sorry. It wasn't not 1 to 3 droppers. I misspoke. It was 1 to 3 drops.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took like 120 times the dose.
No.
Yeah. And I like ruined my mind. And then, and I was like, I guess I'm off weed. And like a couple months later, I thought I'll just take a little hit and try and get back in. And it was like it went right back to where I had been that evening. So I'm just done forever. Yeah, I'm not going to try it.
Oh, my God. So, so she saved you. She saved you.
Yeah, in a way, she saved me. Yeah.
Wow, that's so crazy.
And we will be right back.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you, like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Every week, guests join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time. Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? They never imagined somebody might actually try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hey, listener, it's Jason Bateman. You know him for putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville's bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his new podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. His new podcast, in collaboration with us here at Smartless Media, also features longtime This American Life contributor Elna Baker as his co-host. Together, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surf 100-foot waves, ride 600-mile-per-hour rocket sleds, and wrestle crocodiles for fun. On Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid. We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
And now, back to the show.
Jenny, speaking of like getting freaked out and stuff, you know, your Netflix special called Stage Fright,
yes.
It was so fucking great. I loved it.
Thanks.
So much. You talk, I love the way it was shot, by the way. It's so cool. But anyway, you talk about like fear and how you hate it and you love it and it motivates you and how people say, just be yourself. And you were like, that's the worst advice because there's a million people in my head.
Yeah.
How do you choose?
Right, Dick.
So how do you talk about like the love and the hate of performing live? Like, what is it what freaks you out about it?
I like it so much, but It must be like what adrenaline junkies are like, I guess. I mean, I don't know. But not the guy that does the free solo. I actually think that, I sound like an old woman, but that really makes me angry that he does that.
There's another one that makes him look like
There's the one that he talks about, the other guy. Yeah.
The alpinist.
The Canadian kid.
Wait, what?
Yeah, isn't it called The Alpinist?
Yeah, and that one's really sad.
The Alpinist.
But man, what a documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah,
most of them don't end with like don't have amazing endings. You know what I mean?
No, they're not like a lot of times back in the parking lot at the end.
No. Oh, you mean the guy who climbs the ice waterfall at night by himself with no ropes doesn't end well?
Oh, the guy with the bears, the guy who did all those cute movies of the bears.
That one I still need to see.
Oh yeah.
Also, I got busted on not seeing The Revenant the other night at dinner with my parents and my husband because I said that a Snuggie was like that guy in The Revenant who wears the bear suit.
Leo DiCaprio,
like,
you mean?
Yeah, like truly everything. Everyone is like, what are you talking about? You're talking about Leonardo DiCaprio, like the, you know, Oscar winner, the actor, the guy. He's not the guy. He's Leonardo DiCaprio, and he doesn't wear a bear suit. Like, I guess he gets attacked. I didn't see it because I was too afraid.
It's stunning. You should just see that one scene. Or just watch the YouTube special on how they shot that scene.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That seems like at a safe distance.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There's also a YouTube video about the guys getting prepared to shoot the YouTube video for the, which is amazing.
It's mainly just
in the parking lot and putting on Patagonias and shit, but it's good.
Yeah. No, I need to be pretty far afield, I think, of the central experience. I don't really want it. Yeah.
Wait, go back to the fear thing.
I think the fear is that people don't
Patagonia.
Like, that they won't like me and that they won't think of, like, yeah, that I'll be wearing a Patagonia jacket and I'll be like.
They're great jackets. They're great jackets, especially if you're, they're expensive, but if you're a size large, they're great.
They're great.
Sorry, I just had to put that out there.
They're telling just what you need to tell, yeah.
So that fear of when you're up there on stage and they're not going to like you, if you play that out in your head, is it like that, oh my God, I have no place to go? I can't hide?
Right, because you still do it.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a social thing. I like it that I'm going to have to be up here and they're all going to see me like.
Right.
Just like choking and floundering
melting.
And being out of control and all the things that if I succeed at, they'll see me as a master of like, you know, the moment and like chaos and power or whatever. Not that I see it that, but I think that would be the other side of it. Not that I think I'm like the master of chaos.
I would imagine that you'd have to find a place of like the perfect combination between sort of an adversarial relationship with the audience, right? So that you feel sort of puffed up and strong, like a worthy adversary, and you can defend yourself, but then also kind of be a teammate with the audience too. You want to try to find that connection with them. I bet that's a real challenging place for stand-ups. I don't think I'd ever have the spine to do it.
But it's like a date.
Terrifying.
I think of it like a date. Like you're like, the person could
I actually think you don't have the balls to do it. The spine.
Or the spine. No skeletal structure whatsoever.
Or sack. I don't think you have any of the undercarriage to do it. Sorry,
Jenny. I don't have that undercarriage either.
How often are you still getting up there and doing stand-up?
Well, in LA, I usually go up at Largo, and I was trying to go like twice a week while I was there because I want to make a new special, and that's harder, obviously, like when I want to put the baby to bed, and you know, and I like it when Ben sees my sets because. Especially after having the baby, it's like, oh, I guess I'm just this person who, like, complains about, like, almost everything all the time. I really want him to see me as someone who other people think is, like, literally in the cheapest way, like, popular. Like, I would like him to, you know, like, everything's fine. But I'm just like, that's such a good friend. I think it's such a good look, you know, up there on stage. If they're liking you, it's like, oh, right, I forgot that. That there's this powerful person, and it is nice, but it's also really scary. But I have to do it.
Do you make him the butt of any jokes,
no.
Either intentionally or unintentionally? Well, like when you're sharing your stuff about home and the kid and adjusting to that the new life in your house, like do you back into sort of throwing him under the bus at all? I used to do that on talk shows with my wife, and then she'd straighten me out.
Did you ask permission or would you just
I didn't. And then I got my snout smacked. And then I started asking for permission. And then she started saying no. And then I started looking for different material.
Sure.
Yeah. Jenny, I want to talk about, I want to leave you with Marcel the Shell because it's so good. I watched the movie last night. It's so good. Here's what I need to say. I've been a fan of Marcel the Shell with shoes on forever. I know it's been like over 10 years or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And I used to watch those videos all the time. And what I love about it is if you haven't seen it, all you need to know about it is in the title. It's literally Marcel Lachelle, and he has shoes on. And you literally play a shell named Marcel. And he, why the voice? Are you sick of the voice? Tell us all things about Marcel, because how did you think of him? And are you kind of like done or more? Because I can't get enough of him.
Oh, thanks for saying
that. Like, wait, sidebar really quick. I loved when Marcel played taps from his horn, which was a piece of hollow spiral macaroni. And he sleeps in his bread room, which is a bedroom made of out of bread, which is fantastic.
Bless him.
And when he plays taps, that's like my favorite part of it's a sad part.
Yeah.
It's a sort of like a eulogy part, and it's so funny, and it's also terribly
piece
sad.
Of macaroni, and
it's like a shofar. In my culture, we call that a shofar. Yeah, for sure. It's a lot of secret Judaism put in there. I'm not sick of the voice. I love doing it. It's like, it feels like a, you know, like, I don't know, like a soothing thing. I do it by myself a lot. I like it. It came up one weekend when I was like in a hotel room, sharing a hotel room with like 5 friends, and everyone was like broke, and we were all sharing a hotel room, and like everything you could sleep on was being used, like the cot and the 2 beds and like someone on the floor, whatever. And they were just like all men, and I felt like tiny, and that it was like so messy and cramped in there. And I started to talk to like sort of rib people in that voice. And then my partner at the time had like promised that he was going to make a video for a little show in Williamsburg, and he hadn't done anything yet. And he was like, could I interview that voice? And like, maybe there'll be a character and I'll, you know, make something with it. So he interviewed me in that voice, and then he made Marcel's body. And
wow.
Then we just like made that video.
It's so cool.
Yeah. So is he still a part of all the stuff going forward?
Yeah, Dean Fleischer Camp. He's the director, and we co-wrote it together with our friend Nick Paley. And he did everything.
I love when there's a million one-liners, but you know what Marcel uses for skis are men's toenails.
Yeah, toenails from a man.
toenail clippings, not the actual toenail, full toenail.
Not the full nail.
Yeah, just the clippings. Did I see a trailer for it that's coming out?
Yes.
Yeah, it's coming out June 24th through A24. Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
And you filmed it like over a year ago, right?
It took 7 years to make.
Wow. Jesus.
Yeah, we finished it. I want to say in the winter.
Wait, why did it take 7 years?
Well, because it's stop motion, and we weren't, you know, we were like fully funded by Cinereach. It's like not a studio. It's like basically like getting arts grants, basically, and which also gave us total
freedom.
Yeah, which was really great. Yeah. And it took a long time. The film was improvised off of a long treatment. So we would like record, like improvise, and then Dean and Nick would go back and cull through all the audio and start to make a script off of that, and then like write things that we should say and go back into more improvising. And that process itself took about a couple of years.
And then you would do the stop motion.
Yeah, then I think the order was we locked like the audio play, like everything that Marcel and his grandmother is the only other character besides Dean, played by Isabella Rossellini, who is incredible.
Nice.
And
wow.
She has a beautiful voice. Yeah. And so we did, and she let us go to her farm to improvise. Like when there
Where's
are scenes.
Where's the farm?
It's in New York.
City?
Yeah, it's in this city. It's so weird. It's on 56th Street. It's so odd. Yeah, so strange.
It's just a farm. And then what do they? They just raise improvisers? That's amazing.
Yeah, it's called Yes and Farm.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, I just love that. I love that about her. Anyway, yeah. So we recorded it all, and then they filmed the live action because, like, Marcel is, you know, like he's in a physical house, and obviously Dean is a real person that you sometimes see, like his hand or him walking away. They filmed all the live action, the whole movie's worth, and then they filmed the stop motion animation on,
yeah,
on that.
It's so good. I love it. I loved it so much. It's, please go see it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
June 24th. It's my sister's birthday.
Is that right?
Happy birthday.
Both of them, because they're twins.
Oh, happy birthday. Quick,
what are both of them?
What are both their names? Well, quick.
Tannis and Chanley.
Good. Oh, and nice. What about your brother?
Chuck.
Wow. All right.
Wait, why do we test me on this all the time?
Jenny, it's such a pleasure. Thank you for being here. I want everybody to go see the movie.
Jenny.
You're hilarious and a delight.
Yes. You really are.
Gentlemen, so are you. Really, wow. Really, really fun.
This Next time
really
you're out
nice
in Silver Lake, come by the Smartless Studios.
Oh, no, that'll be nice.
They don't exist.
Oh, they don't? You don't have to?
We're building a whole compound out there to rival Isabella Rossellini's Yes and Ranch.
Yep, Yes and Ranch, top of the rock. You can't miss it. It's gorgeous up there.
Top of the rock.
She's just up there hoeing. Anyway, honey, thank you. We love you. I'm so proud
you
of you, and I'm excited for the movie. I hope it does really well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenny. Please say hi to Ben and Ida. Yeah. Tell her I miss her.
I will.
Bye, Jenny.
Bye,
honey. Goodbye.
You just slam.
Okay, I'll go. I go now, right?
Yeah, you go now.
You go.
Yeah.
You go.
I go now. Goodbye. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. That's Jenny Slate, y'all.
Yeah, I love
Jenny Slate.
She is great.
She's great. Slate.
She's a killer. Funny.
She's a real killer.
I know. And everybody knows her voices, right? But they don't know that she probably does all of them because they're all so different.
I did a small movie with her. She was on camera, not just the voice, face, the whole acting, the
what
whole thing.
What was the movie?
She's very, very good. I believe it's called The Longest Week. Wasn't a large film, but she was in it and she was great. I really had a good time with her. She's real fun.
She's super fun. Cute, funny, just adorable, super talented.
Oh, my God. Great energy, vibe.
She should teach improv and voiceover stuff because she...
I know. It's pretty good.
Well, Will, so are you going to go back work out and finish that now? Or
no, I was just finishing up, and I'm really rattled. I'm so hungry, obviously.
Well, go get something to eat,
and then I gotta go meet Jason. We got a meeting.
Yeah, we got a lunch meeting. Hey, what are you going to eat prior to your 1 o'clock lunch?
I am fucking.
What's it going to be though? Is it going to be a protein shake? Are you going to ruin all the work you've done this morning, punching that dumb white bag? There it is.
My energy has really plummeted in the last 10 minutes.
It's sugar.
Yeah, no, I noticed.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we let you go?
Yeah, go.
Thank you for coming today. We're huge fans.
No, oh, wait. And do I just slam shut?
Yeah, you just slam shut.
Listen, if you're feeling weak, just go grab something that looks like it's got a lot of carbohydrates in it and just take a big bite.
Bite of it.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarve, and Bennett Barbico.
Smartless.
If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.